Have you ever had a moment where you wished you could be different? Maybe a new social situation where you let your shyness get the best of you, or a time when you let someone walk all over you and you wish you'd spoken up. Our next guest says she's had her own versions of those kind of moments, and that got her interested in the science behind personality. She took a closer look at that in a recent piece for The Atlantic and set out on a 3-month experiment to see if she could change her own personality. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What parts of your personality do you love? What parts would you change if you could? Have you ever tried consciously to change something about your personality? Introverts out there, have you tried to be extroverts? I can relate. Did it work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Olga Hazan is a staff writer at The Atlantic, author of the book Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World. Olga, welcome back to Central Time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
What got you interested in changing your own personality, Olga?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pandemic happened, and at first, you know, like many introverts, I was sort of like, yay, I don't have to go see people, you know, but then I kind of was thinking, you know, am I really that introverted? Like, I kind of do find myself missing human interaction and maybe wanting to expand my social circle a little bit. And I also, I mean, I've just always known that I've been very neurotic my whole life. And it definitely has a detrimental effect on my personality and my life. So I wanted to see if I could reduce my neuroticism as well.
And as always, Olga, when you did this, it wasn't just about you. You went and looked at a lot of the science here. And there have been disagreements, changing ideas in the psychological world over whether we can change our personalities at all. What did you find out?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's like sort of this folk wisdom, you know, that, you know, people never change, you'll always be the same. And, you know, I don't want to overstate things. Like, it's likely that, you know, you will be recognizable, you know, from, you know, the time you're in your early 20s to the time you're in your 60s. But it is still likely that you'll change on at least one personality trait over that period of time. And actually, you know, scientists who have looked into this and who have studied personality change have found that people can actually kind of nudge their personalities into the direction that they would like it to go, basically by behaving in the way that they would like their new personality to be. So if you want to be really bubbly and outgoing, you have to go to a lot of parties and meet a lot of people and talk to people and say hello and try new things and like all those other scary things that introverts hate, you know, but eventually that can actually become part of your personality.
Let's talk about what constitutes personality. You went for your experiment with this kind of 5-category process. You've already touched on them a little bit. Can you sum up what the 5 are in kind of a Cliff's Notes version?
Yeah, definitely. So scientists think that your personality consists of 5 factors. So there's the acronym is OCEAN, if you want an easy way to remember them. So the first one is openness to experience, which is sort of how kind of down with new types of cuisines and movies and music you are. Then there's conscientiousness, which is, you know, getting places on time and making plans and, you know, getting things done. There's extroversion, you know, which is pretty self-explanatory. Agreeableness, which is sort of how cuddly, you know, touchy-feely you are. And neuroticism, which is the one that I struggle with, which is sort of this proclivity toward anxiety and depression.
We're talking to Olga Hazan from The Atlantic about her 3-month experiment to change her personality and what she learned about the science of personality along the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions or maybe your own reflections on how your personality has changed over time. On accident or on purpose. Call 800-642-1234. Olga, you picked a few of those traits, tried to change them. What were some of the operational ways? How did you actually try to start changing these facets of your personality?
Yeah, well, so one of the things that I tried that I actually ended up really enjoying was I took an improv class. So if you're someone like me who's a total control freak and is also very introverted and doesn't like to put themselves out there, improv is a great way to not allow you to do any of that, like all at once. So it forces you to kind of get up and out in front of people behave in these like really silly ways. And then often in improv, things go wrong, like thus the improvisational nature of it. You know, your scene partner doesn't say what you expect them to say, or just something unexpected happens. So it kind of requires you to roll with the punches a little bit. So that's one that I actually really enjoyed. I also took an anger management class, and I tried meditating as well.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Brian is with us in Green Bay. Brian, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
What, taking my call. I love this topic.
Yeah, what's your experience, Brian?
So I actively tried to and succeeded in not just breaking out of my shell, but feeling like I completely smashed it. When I was in high school, I was part of a foreign student ambassadorship program known as People to People, and I went to Australia with 40 other people from a whole bunch of different schools, and as a result, I came back and I went to college and actively was not my introverted self. I was a t-shirt with witty quips guy with baggy jeans, and when I went to college, I was polos and smiles and khakis and nice shoes, and as a result, I had a great first semester in college. I was very amicable. I was genial. I became more empathetic to other people who were also introverted. But ultimately, I kind of stepped back. I just felt like I gained skills that allowed me to kind of be more flexible in more situations than I was before when I was 100% that angsty teenager in high school.
Wow. Brian, thank you so much for sharing that. And Olga, he kind of is spoiling some of your conclusions. I think you found similar things with your extroversion experiences when he talked about skills there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I love what this caller said because, yeah, so it's not, so he kind of learned how to be an extrovert, which is totally in line with what a lot of experts say, which is that you can kind of learn these skills and learn these abilities so that when the time or the situation calls for being an extrovert, you can do it. You don't have to be kind of afraid of the, you know, networking reception or, you know, what have you, that because you understand that is within you. And even if, you know, you occasionally need to retreat and be kind of in a quiet room by yourself, so that you can go back to being an introvert for a little bit, you at least have those skills so you know how to do it if the situation calls for it.
Brian, thanks a lot for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Olga, let's step into that anger management class now. This is something that where people go in the hopes of changing their personality, or somebody hopes they're going to change that personality. You mentioned a lot of your classmates, unlike you, were there by a court order. Did you take skills out of that helped you? You're not like, a smash stuff in public kind of person, but did you get skills there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most important things that I understood from anger management was just that anger is about expectations. So like a lot of things that make us angry are actually because our expectations were foiled in some way. So there was like a really interesting moment early on in the class where they talked about whether traffic makes us angry. And it was kind of funny because I think the instructors expected us all to say like, yeah, I hate traffic, you know, but no one said that because we all live in this very congested area of the country where there's always a lot of traffic. And we were all sort of like, yeah, I expect there to be traffic and it doesn't really bother me when it happens. So that's kind of when we realized that, you know, a lot of things in life are kind of like that traffic that you can kind of learn to expect, and maybe it doesn't bother you so much.
Okay, now how did you operationalize that in your life, Olga, for that moment where you did find yourself getting angry because the world didn't match your expectations, which is going to happen to all of us sometimes?
Yeah, so another strategy for, yeah, so definitely like, you can't always have your expectations match reality. So one thing they learned that's been kind of helpful for me is actually this sounds a little strange, but it's plunging your hands or your face into ice water, which I don't know exactly why it works, but apparently it kind of like conveys signals through the vagus nerve, which tells you to kind of calm down, or it kind of like shocks your system a little bit. So if you are in a place where you have ice water handy, I have done this before. I will just stick my face in ice water. Another option, if you I don't know if your lakes are still frozen or whatever, go, you know, just kind of go put your face in some really cold water.
They're pretty cold.
And that kind of, you know, resets you a little bit.
That's going to be hard for the driver who's upset about the traffic, though.
Right?
That ice bucket of water is just not going to work. Yeah. We're talking to Olga Hazad. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic. She's with us to talk about an experiment she tried recently to see if she could change her personality in 3 months, what she learned about the science of personality along the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. One of those categories of personality, extrovert or introvert. Does one of those describe you? Do you like being that way? Have you tried to push yourself in one direction or another? How did it go? Have you made a conscious effort to change something about your personality? How did it go? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with writer Olga Hazan from The Atlantic with us today to talk about a recent experiment where she tried to change her personality in a few different ways in just a few months. You can join in at 800-642-1234. One of the most common things, maybe, are you an introvert who tried to get out and talk to people at a bar or whatever? How did it go? Were you able to? Did you want to make that change? How did it work for you? Have you tried to dial down anger or anxiety? Meditation? Was that one of the tools you used? 800-642-1234. If you have a story to share or a question for our guest, 800-642-1234 as we talk about some of the science and psychology behind our personality. Olga, I just mentioned meditation. That's one of the things you tried. I think you were skeptical. You went to another person who'd been skeptical, Dan Harris, author of 10% Happier. He told us about his meditation journey on this show. Can you tell us how that worked, how you try to use it to change your personality?
Yeah. So the big thing that made a difference for me was, so for me, meditation, I guess to back up, was very unsuccessful. So if I just turned off my phone and sat, you know, set a timer for 10 minutes and sat there, I would just ruminate about all my problems for 10 minutes, which is not especially helpful. So I was sort of like, how do people actually meditate? So I tweeted about this, and Dan kind of messaged me, and I downloaded his app, which really made a difference. So essentially, what I found helps is guided meditations, which is sort of someone, you're mostly meditating and it's mostly just a quiet time for yourself. But there's a meditation teacher who's sort of walking you through and saying, okay, now picture yourself, you know, like in a river that's like really calm or whatever, or, you know, now imagine, you know, tell yourself that like everything's going to be okay. And like, I know it sounds really cheesy, but for me that really worked. And these guided meditations helped me kind of stay with the meditation as opposed to just veering off into anxiety land, which is what I was doing before.
Did that end up helping you when you weren't doing the guided meditation?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to say. So I did become less neurotic according to the tests that I took before and after. So I do think it, quote unquote, worked. But it, you know, it's hard to say whether that was because of the meditation, or I was doing all of this journaling. Like whenever I was anxious about something, I had to like, counteract it with, you know, two reasons why it might work out well. Or, you know, if I thought someone was mad at me, I had to, you know, come up with two reasons why they actually might just be having a bad day or something like that. So I was sort of constantly retraining my mind to break out of this loop of anxiety that has really been with me my entire life.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Terry is with us in Racine. Terry, hello.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
I thought it was interesting when you talked about changing personalities. I was a real introvert in high school. I didn't feel like I was one of the crowd. You know, I was bullied a little bit, but I wasn't one of the real popular cute little girls. I had a deep voice. I played, you know, I was kind of a tomboy, and I turned into a real introvert. And then I got into, I was an engineer for a biomedical company, and I had to start talking to people in, you know, surgical suites and to the FDA. And I found that by practicing, getting in front of a mirror and practicing over and over again, I start getting a lot of confidence. And pretty soon, I started actually enjoying it and volunteering to go talk to people because it was kind of fun. You know, when you could get an audience to laugh with you and do things, and it really changed my personality around.
Terry, I got to ask though, did you find it exhausting to get up in front of a whole bunch of people, or are you just roll with it now?
I just kind of roll with it. You know, I think COVID's kind of tempered that a little bit because I haven't been around people and I kind of have been avoiding people. Mm. But, you know, before that, we'd be on trips and I'd get in the elevator and I'd see somebody and I'd travel with a friend of mine. And he would say, you know, you would talk to a beat, you know, sitting on a table, because I would just start talking to people. So it kind of rolled over into my other life. Like I said, it's been tempered with COVID, but, you know, it's actually kind of fun once you start doing it, because people like to talk about themselves, and you can find out a lot of really interesting things about people, and I like to hear their stories. So it's been a good thing.
Terry, thanks a lot for sharing that. It reminds me, Olga, another part of your introvert-extrovert story was part of your routine was you would try to just walk up and talk to a group of strangers at a bar. I've spent a fair amount of time at bars. That's something I still wouldn't feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was actually the activity that I enjoyed least. I have never voluntarily talked to strangers in a bar except for a story. And so not even for this story, but just like, hey, I'm here at this bar as a reporter. And what do you think about the latest law that says blah, blah, blah? You know, and I don't even really like doing that. And that's my job. So this made me really uncomfortable. I feel like maybe my discomfort was palpable. It also was a kind of, I think, maybe the wrong setting for this. Like, it was a little bit more of a dinner spot than like a dive bar where people are kind of shooting the shit and there's a big row of people, you know. It's also in DC where people are a little more closed off. Still, I tried to make conversation with the bartender and I wasn't able to, but the two people sitting next to me were. So I don't know. I might just need a little more practice with this one, but it did not go very well.
Talking to Olga Kazan from The Atlantic, looking at her 3-month experiment to change her personality, what she learned about the psychology and science of personality along the way. Olga, are you a different Olga now?
You know, I really think I am. Like, I think in particular, it's not so much that you wouldn't recognize me. You know, I'm totally, I just think that my view toward myself is a little bit different. Like, it really made me feel a lot more empowered. And it made me feel like if there is something about my life or about my habits or behaviors that I don't like, that they're within my power to control. It kind of made me feel like whenever I get down about, you know, I don't have that many friends or I don't really have any hobbies or I kind of, you know, my life is kind of boring. It kind of made me feel like I have the ability to really change that. And that was kind of one of the most gratifying things about doing this experiment.
Do other people in your life notice a difference?
I did ask my boyfriend if he noticed me behaving differently, and he said that I seem more grateful and more calm. He said that toward the end of the experiment. But I have to qualify that with the fact that he is a very positive person who has a very different personality than me. I do not know if that's colored by the fact that he sees everything in this kind of rosy way.
So, Olga, if somebody out there is listening thinking, yeah, there's this element of my personality that I would want to change, if I could change it myself, yeah, let's go for it. How would you advise them to get started on that process?
So you could just read my article and try some of the stuff that I did. but there's a really great researcher out there, Nate Hudson, who has done a lot of work on this. If you're able at all to read kind of scientific literature, you can kind of read through his studies and see kind of what he recommends. But otherwise, like if you're not into all that, you know, you could just imagine what would a person who is really conscientious act like, or what would a person who's really extroverted act like? And you can kind of just do that stuff. Like you don't really need permission from some professor to just behave differently. And behaving differently is really all that personality is. So I don't know. That's kind of my recommendation, is sort of fake it till you make it.
I wonder, going through this process of consciously trying to change some parts of your personality that you thought could use improvement, did you end up at a place where some of it was like, you know what, I'm going to accept it, that's who I am, and that's okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm always going to have these tendencies toward neuroticism and introversion. I don't think that I'm ever going to completely eliminate those, you know, but I think that's okay. Like, I think as long as I understand how to turn the dial, you know, up and down on some of these things, you know, and to know that it's not permanent, or at least that I can flex myself in different situations. That to me is a really comforting feeling.
And just in our last half a minute, is it, you do this a lot in your work, is it weird to share this deeply personal stuff with the world?
It was a little weird. Yeah, I guess so, maybe. But I don't know. It's hard to write an article like this without really revealing all your warts and all.
Fair enough. Olga, thanks for joining us again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That's Olga Kazan, a staff writer at The Atlantic. She was with us today to talk about the science behind our personalities. And she put that science to the test with a 3-month experiment to see if she could change parts of her own personality. If you have a story like that to share, there's still time. You can do it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR.